friends. Of course, I go by the name of the Kid, famous. You and I are tuned in to the Tim and Friends show. Hello, education, entertainment, coast to coast. Ball it up, call it entertainment. Let's get this started. Uncle Tim, let's start this show in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's go.
What is that dance? No idea.
What is that?
I'm still getting reacclimated over here, so.
To what?
Just the
rhythm?
The space, the size of the desk, primarily. I just ate a ginger chew, almost choked.
Okay.
So I'm off to a rough start here on this side. But how are you doing?
That's the main question. I'm fine. Now, welcome to Canada to Tim and Friends, where evidently we can't dance. This is Thursday, November 25th. Once again, no Tim McAuliffe. I will not speak on his dance moves, but I have seen them. He's still on vacation. Yeah. Is it a vacation? Is it a staycation? Do we know? Do we know where he is?
I'm not going to speak for him, but I think it's a staycation. But I've seen he's been active on the socials, too.
You do that thing where you said, I'm not going to speak for him, and then immediately you spoke for him.
Yeah, I've done that a couple times already so far. Yeah. I hope he's just, like, unplugging and enjoying the tuba.
I don't want to reach out to him,
because I just want him to, like, enjoy, man. Yeah.
Zen McAuliffe.
Like, earned it, right? We talked about how he earned it. It was 170 straight shows. Like, it's a lot of time on camera, so.
It is.
Enjoy it.
You're going to be stuck with a lot of time on camera with this guy. I'm Donovan Bennett. Happy to be back along with my homie, Jesse. He is my homie. I don't know if I'm happy to be back. That was just put in the prompter for me, so I read it. But I'm here. What's going on, huh?
Not a whole heck of a lot today. Look, FaZe, Top FaZe came in, did a very good job the last couple of days. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun. We're just trying to feed off each other, bring the energy, bring the heat, and we had a good time. So I'm happy, still riding high off those 2 days. So happy to be here.
Why are you giving me post-game cliches about you hosting the show for 2 days?
I don't know. I always wanted to be an athlete. And I guess I'm not an athlete. This is the closest thing I'll ever get. So if you ask me a question, I'll just answer in cliches.
Okay. Well, listen, we didn't get those post-game cliches from Vancouver, from our Canucks. We'll get into that. And, of course, it's American Thanksgiving. So, of course, we're going to talk some NHL and NBA, although they're off today. But fans of both leagues, they got to fill their bellies last night with a full slate of action on the ice and on the hard court. We'll dive into those things, and first things first, maybe you could do some better dancing by then.
Doubtful.
Being an older brother, there was something that caught my eye last night, Jesse, is Steph Curry did some dancing on the court. Did you see what he did to younger brother Seth when he puts him in the spin cycle? Okay, here, nope, I'm gone, and... three, not even in your eye. Like, you can't even say, you know, don't cry, dry your eye, because it wasn't in your eye, because he's in the paint by the time he's shooting it. The off-ball movement, next level, and but also mean. For this entire game, younger brother Seth had more points, and towards the end, Steph has a flurry, passes him. So Seth has never scored more in a game than Steph. Plus, he had that moment go viral. What begs the question, what's the meanest thing that you've done to a younger sibling?
Yeah, so I have a brother. He's Spence. What's up? He's 4 years younger. And back, like, brothers, you know, give each other a hard time from time to time. I remember one time we were playing video games. I was chirping nonstop. I was pretty good at, like, NHL and Madden back in the day. And he got so aggravated that one time he just, like, kind of, like, UFC style, like, full mount, tried to, like, punch me in the face, dodged it because I'm quick like that, and he hit his hand on the floor, broken, not a big deal.
Oof.
Second one, was chasing him around the living room.
Okay.
Fireplace, like hard fireplace ledge, okay? Running around, chasing me. Juke move, a little Heisman.
Oh, okay.
Little kid, boom, right into the fireplace. Front teeth, gone, blood everywhere. Not to get too graphic, but yeah, straight rush to the dentist or the hospital, I forget which one, it was a long time ago. But look, older brother, sometimes you gotta assert yourself a little bit, you know?
Well, you,
not that I did anything to him.
I was gonna say, the second one, you didn't do anything.
No. He was chasing me. I just quick. There's nothing I could do about
your
that.
Your fault. He lacked core strength and he's lost his balance.
He's the one with the temper. So we put it out there on the socials, given what Steph Curry did to Seth Curry, given what I have done to my younger brother in the past.
Same.
We put it out.
Jesse, like, Spence.
Exactly.
Steph, Seth.
Exactly. Exactly. What is the worst thing that you have ever done to a younger sibling? So hit us up at Tim and Friends, and we will get to your answers throughout the show. Because, I mean, there's a lot of younger siblings in the world, so we're hoping that you can give us some of those good stories.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, the worst thing I've done to my younger brother, Anton, is just be me. I'll give you this tough following in all ways and be me. Like, I mean, I didn't mean to, but that's tough. No, and I think many people, let us know, as you mentioned in the socials, what yours is. I think many people have done this. It's a thing when the younger sibling wants to play video games with you and your friends, isn't good enough. They're just like a button smasher, right? They're doing that thing. And so it's like, all right, I'll humor you. We'll get an extra controller. We'll like string it behind the Nintendo as if it's plugged in. It's not plugged in. So you are
That's mean.
What do you
that
mean?
That is mean.
We're playing go-karts, but you're a computer player. You're not really playing. And so me and my friends did that to my brother. He probably still
that's a good one.
Talking about it in therapy. He pulls it too hard, notices. And so we apologize. And then we just did the same thing for another solid 2 years until he realized for a second. That's the meanest thing I've done. I don't think it's just it's mean. We wanted to include him, but he wasn't at that level yet. Let us know. Speaking of family ties, yesterday Jesse and Faisal talked to new Toronto FC coach Bob Bradley. And today his son, Toronto FC captain Michael Bradley, will join us on this very show. Blake Murphy, who's not family, but I like him a lot. He'll stop by the studio to talk Raptors and Canada basketball. As our men's national team, as you know, gets set to open World Cup qualifying this weekend. And my old friend, I call him a brother, so he's a brother from a different mother. Cabrel Richards, Cabby, will also join me in studio with some very exciting news and maybe a little old school cut or uncut with him. That is all ahead. But Jesse, maybe we should begin with Biggie Smalls, with Notorious B.I.G. And first things first.
Let's do it. I'm in.
First things first.
I'm Papa. I just want to hear the rest of it. But continue.
That's okay. We'll start on the ice because the Leafs and the Oilers were the only winners among the six Canadian NHL teams in action last night. The Leafs scored four times in just over 12 minutes in the second period in a 6-2 win over the Kings as Jack Campbell got the win against his former team while the Oilers bounced back from Tuesday's loss to the Stars with a 5-3 win in Arizona. Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl each with 4 points, Draisaitl reaching the 20-goal and 40-point mark in just the 19th game of his season. Is Draisaitl underappreciated because he plays with McDavid?
The short answer is yes, and guilty as charged. Because I don't know if you remember this. This was pre digital global ambassador role.
Digital global ambassador.
It was before that, right? It was the early days. But I sat in that very seat, speaking to Tim in this very seat, and I said, he's aight, but he's not real. I said, he plays with Connor McDavid. He has assists and goals dropped on his lap. He's nice, but let's not get it twisted. He is not a top three center on the elite teams in the league, if not for the boy wonder, Connor McDavid. And all the dude has done since is light the lamp and make me look like a fool. Mm-hmm. So, Edmonton, Alberta, Draisaitl family, I apologize. Clearly, I was wrong.
Did you know that question was coming, and is that why you sort of wore your Oilers colors here today?
No.
No, just a coincidence.
But it is a peace offering, if you will. Because I know fans in oil country can come for your neck, as the kids say. But no, listen, the names that he's being floated with are Hall of Famers, right? The first Oiler to do it since Gretzky in terms of how many points he's got at the 20-game mark, which is 40. 20 goals in the first 19. Simone Gagné, that hasn't happened since 05-06. It took him twice as long to get to this point mark a year ago. So, yeah, no, he's real. And I think the question is, can he keep this up? Like, could he go for a 50 spot?
Yeah, so he was asked that question last night, and he kind of poo-pooed that because, it's really hard to score 50 goals in 50, and he's gotten, it's not even the halfway point yet, so it seems kind of ridiculous to even be floating that question out there, but that's what we do. We kind of put pressure on guys to continue at ridiculous paces. I'm not sure Leon Draisaitl can be underappreciated anymore. I think he's fully appreciated in Edmonton for what he brings, and if hockey fans look at what Leon Draisaitl is currently doing and still don't think he should be appreciated, then that's shame on them, right? Because what he is doing, like you said, is elite level stuff. there are guys that are in the Hall of Fame, like you said,
yes,
that are in the same stratosphere as what he is doing at the moment. He's leading the league in almost every single category. You can no longer underappreciate Leon Draisaitl. It's not fair. And this team has weapons now that they haven't had in a very long time. They're winning games. They won last night when almost all of their left-handed defensemen are injured. I expect big things from the Edmonton Oilers going forward because they can still win games with injuries. And it's impressive what they've been able to accomplish so far this season. You want to go to Canucks?
Yeah, let's do it. Because they're not winning games.
No. So they dropped the first game of their five-game Eastern road trip, 4-1, to the Penguins last night. Vancouver has lost 7 of their last 8 games. And frustration seems to be growing in the dressing room.
Things aren't going well. And for this stretch amount of time, it's hard. It's really, really hard mentally to stay the course and stay, in, you know, use our process to win games. And I always tell you guys, it comes from moving your feet and competing, and for me at least, and I think when we get everybody to buy in, we're really hard to play a team to play against.
Is everyone buying in right now?
I don't.
Just exasperated. Just exasperated. After those comments from JT Miller last night, Sportsnet's Thomas Drantz tweeting today that there was some confusion over a drill at Canucks practice, and while Travis Green and Brock Besser talked about it, Miller could be heard yelling, quote, "We don't know what we're doing." The Canucks have 4 games remaining on their road trip before returning to Vancouver on December 4th. Will Green still be the head coach when they get back?
If he is, it won't be for very long. I mean, we say this all the time in sports, and this is like such a talk radio show thing to say. No disrespect to talk radio hosts. This show was a talk radio show.
Yeah,
we're
going to
have one on with us later, yeah. Blake Murphy. But, you know, we often say, well, you can't get rid of all the players, so you got to change the coach, which is kind of obvious, but it's also said because it's true. And they don't have the draft capital in future years, really, to change it, which is why even if you brought in another executive in terms of the general manager and the spotlight going on that front office, outside of trade, there isn't really much you could do, you know, this year or in the short term. So you have to change the conversation. Listen, the team that's not disciplined, their PK is terrible.
Awful.
Worst in the league, 63%.
By a lot. By 2%.
So they're taking a lot of penalties, and when they do, it's, hey, you get a goal, you get a goal, yeah. You get a goal. So at some point when they're not disciplined, and as you heard, people aren't buying in, that's a coaching issue, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, look, there are only so many bullets you can fire when you're ownership, when you're the general manager. I think they need a full scale restructure here, and that probably means Green and Benning are going to find themselves on the way out because the fan base is completely fed up with what they've done over the last 8 years, basically. Jim Benning has had every opportunity to sort of restructure this team and revamp this team in the way that he has wanted to do it, and it always seems like they fall for the quick turnaround. Like, it's never a full rebuild. They get sort of tricked into when they decide to go for it. I think that run that they had in the bubble might have actually given them a little bit of false hope, and people thought that they were better than they actually were, and now you're seeing the effects of that. And we sort of fell for it too, because Tim and I sat here and we believed in the Canucks before the season. We looked at the roster, we looked at the changes that they made, and we said they're going to be better. And evidently, they're not. And face the facts, they're just not a very good hockey team at this current point, and changes are going to need to be made, in my opinion, Deej. The Raptors, much needed win in Memphis last night as they came back from 12 points down at the half, beat the Grizzlies 126-113. The Raps allowed 71 points in the first half and just 42 in the second half. Defense really tightened up, Deej. What is the difference, or what was the difference in the second half?
This is going to be counterintuitive, but nothing? Like, not much. I mean, the Grizzlies hit a bunch of crazy shots that just weren't realistic, but in terms of, you know, coverages, not much changed. To be honest, and we'll talk to Blake a little bit about this later, because he's actually done a rundown, a video on YouTube about their defense, and their defense has gone up and down, but I think you're going to get that with a young team, and I think we underestimate, one, how young this team is, but two, how many new people and faces are in this group, considering that everyone has been in and out of the lineup. So it's not like I saw them changing their coverages on the pick and roll. I saw, you know, the Grizzlies coming back to earth and, you know, the Raptors kind of figuring some things out and actually quite frankly, putting the ball in the basket on offense, which allows you to have a set defense.
Yeah, so you don't think there are many changes. Why don't we find out what Nick Nurse had to say about the change from the first half to the second half, because they really started playing better defense. Yeah. Let's figure out why.
We made kind of one major adjustment, but it really wasn't about that. We were cutting corners on most of the defensive possessions. Like we got to keep the ball in front. If we don't, we got to help. They kick it out, we got to contest, and then we got to rebound. And we were taking a breath at some point before one of those 4 points, and it was hurting us. So that more than anything was the adjustment. The guys just started playing a lot harder and a lot more connected and doing finishing the possessions.
Yeah, I mean, we've sort of said over the course of this season that the Raptors are going to have to really outwork opponents if they're going to want to win games. And it seems like Nick Nurse, that's what he felt was the difference. Plenty more basketball talk coming up on the show. We've got Blake Murphy in studio, you addressed it, talking Raptors and Canada basketball. And also Cabby coming up in studio for a couple of segments. So while you don't quite have a co-host sitting with you at the moment, he will be there in a little bit.
Thanks, Jesse. And before we move on, I want to get something off my chest. Today is International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women, a topic that's all too close to sports, and specifically the sport I love, football. I'm proud to be a part of the football fraternity as a former player, but I'm embarrassed and quite frankly pissed off at the frequency at which football players have taken the violence from the field to their homes. Just look at my fellow running backs, for example. In the case of O.J. Simpson, someone, really two people, lost their lives. Ray Rice lost his career. Joe Mixon made the type of mistake that gives women nightmares, yet is still drafted in 100% of fantasy leagues. Dalvin Cook has pending litigation because of a domestic abuse claim by a former girlfriend. And yesterday, the ex-girlfriend of former NFL player Zach Stacy testified that she fears for her and her two children's safety after allegedly being violently assaulted by Stacy. I say allegedly because journalistically I'm supposed to, but Evans posted the graphic video from the incident on Instagram and it went viral immediately. We won't show it to you because the images show a savage attack in front of a child and really nobody needs to see that. But here's what you need to hear. Domestic violence is the leading cause of injury to women. In fact, more than once a week, a woman in this country is killed by her partner. Which is why over 6,000 women and children sleep in shelters on any given night because it isn't safe to go home. And the fact that gender-based violence has spiked during the pandemic is one of many ways that the pandemic disproportionately impacts women. Domestic violence also doesn't necessarily involve a violent act against an individual. Abusers can control victims by limiting their finances, humiliating them, using fear tactics, or even abusing pets. The National Coalition Against Domestic Violence estimates that about 48% of women have experienced at least one psychologically aggressive tactic by an intimate partner, and 99% of domestic violence survivors have experienced some type of economic abuse. While there may not be physical harm, emotional abuse can equally be detrimental, as was alleged to be the case for former New York Giants kicker Josh Brown and his then wife. Okay, so you're not moved by the morals? Maybe you'll be motivated by money. It costs our country, here in Canada, $7.4 billion to deal with the aftermath of spousal violence, which is why this is not a women's rights issue, it's a human rights issue. This is all of our problem. The statistics show that almost everyone watching this, whether you know it or not, know a woman who's a victim of abuse from her partner. For the women watching that are categorized as victims, know that you are a survivor. And you deserve better. And the numbers say you're not alone, but also you don't have to handle this alone. There are resources on screen that can help you, and if you can, get help. And also know that those resources are going to be shared by our social media accounts if you are in fact watching this with your abuser. When you feel ready and able, please use them. On behalf of everyone here, we're so sorry you've been put in a position to use them. But all those conversations that center around the women that are abused, the onus to change needs to fall on men. So, Zach Stacy and every man who has raised their hand to a woman, do better. Abusing a woman doesn't exert power. It shows how weak you really are. Hurt people hurt people. So show some real strength and get some help. Because although what you've done is inexcusable and criminal, it doesn't have to be who you are. And to the NFL, your social justice slogan is, it takes all of us. Well, if that's true, invest just as much money and resources as you do to marketing to female fans to protecting them. Examine what the causation is for so many players hitting the women in their lives, because the correlation is something nobody tied to the game should be willing to accept. Some things are bigger than sports, but we will still talk sports. Still to come, TFC's Michael Bradley, Blake Murphy on the Raptors and Canada basketball. And up next, Cabrel Richards joins in studio. You're watching Tim and Friends.
Ant off the feed, and Anthony Edwards showing that Ant can kill.
They're going to call the foul on Anthony Edwards.
Wow.
LaMelo way ahead of the pack. What do you got? Oh, LaMelo.
That's going to earn him a little bit of a seat.
LeBron drains another one. Yes, sir.
That is just nice.
It's the captain, Michael Bradley, to make it 1-0.
He's changed the culture of the club. There's no doubt about that, the winning mentality that he's brought.
Welcome back to Tim and Friends. And yes, yes.
Like that.
The president and chairman of SN Bets.
Global ambassador.
No, I'm the global ambassador.
Cabrel Richards.
Drizzy is the global ambassador. Thank you very much. For the Raptors, I'm the global ambassador for SN Bets. We're live today, baby.
Which means what exactly? What does that mean?
Well, please. It's one of your favorite holidays, even though neither of us are American. Correct. But your boys, I don't know if they know that you.
How about them, Cowboys?
Yeah, they're down 14-7, 14-6.
Well, one, I have been watching because I'm hosting a show.
There we go.
Two.
We're up, baby.
The people watching are not watching because they're watching this show. And three, I had PVR to watch later. But thank you for ruining everything.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you would have found out anyway. You're always on your phone, bro. Because you are one of the most connected people that I know.
First of all, do not disturb is a thing that exists. Mm.
Which you never activate airplane mode. We have that graphic of like parlays are activated.
Do not disturb.
You could do airplane mode too. Everybody knows airplane mode is the same thing.
I'm in airplane mode.
Airplane
right
mode
now.
Is way more aggressive than do not disturb.
I guess that's all communication. That's not just text and whatever. Okay, we're getting away from the thing. So,
but I love how you're putting this on me. Literally, as we were coming back from commercial, you were cursing to yourself and going through things that you did and did not bet. So it's
true
not
story.
Just for show,
true
friends and family. He literally is a full-on, like, how would you describe yourself as a gambler? Would you use the D word?
No. I'm optimistic.
Hopeful, optimistic.
Yeah, I'm like, let's take that next cut in the batting cage. So I missed out on Josh Jacobs' anytime touchdowns. On our account today, SN Bets, we had I think Josh Jacobs was plus 130 to score a touchdown. And I knew it, bro. Like, sometimes you just have that feel like you know someone's going to perform. You know, and so anyway, I missed out on it because I bet on the other Josh in the night game. Josh Allen to score a touchdown. Mm. I feel like he's due.
No, that'll happen too. Yeah. I mean,
not a passing touchdown, a rushing touchdown. Yeah.
That might be more likely. Have you seen him pass recently? It hasn't been pretty.
Well, guys, they're putting two in the box. They're putting two high safeties like they did your boy Patrick Mahomes.
Wait, look at that.
What is going on, Mina Kimes? Like, what are you talking
these
about?
Are the types just, of
he's talking football to me.
You understand it.
Thanks, obviously, Palmer, to be coach.
I understand it as well. Two high safeties. That's the new kryptonite for Josh Allen's got a huge arm. Patrick Mahomes is an extraordinary play. Even, actually, the other day when we're watching the Packers game, they put two high safeties in the box too, so everything had to be underneath for Aaron Charles Rodgers. He still dusted him 17-0.
I know this man, or at least I thought I knew this man very well. Was blessed to have him in my wedding party.
We've known each other for almost two decades.
Correct, and we actually haven't. I think this is like the second time we've ever been on air together. Although we've conspired in many on air things before, but. You're talking about two high safeties. For you previously, two high safeties is the two
Easy.
Difficult people
don't get fired.
That don't allow you to navigate the booth. That was two high safeties. Now you're breaking down all 22, Phil.
That's a solid O-line, bro. I mean,
this is how I know you are about that life and you really are taking this betting thing seriously. So please explain to me, a novice, if you will.
Okay.
Right? Like, so fantasy has been my gateway.
Yes.
But I'm starting to dabble, starting to sprinkle a little bit.
Yeah, nice. Appreciate that.
What now do I get with SN Bet?
So we're leaning into the fun of gambling and like just the community of it. Like we're in multiple group chats. You and I, Jesse's got multiple group chats with his friends.
Oh yeah.
People watching that are in group chats, whether it's on IG, WhatsApp, iMessage, or whatever. And then that's where we share memes. We share, you know, inappropriate stuff. You know, we just speak like in our most authentic, unfiltered selves. Cause you know, whatever. But obviously we're not bringing all of that, but that energy, that sense of community, that sense of like, oh, you're on the Cowboys, and I'll be on the Cowboys with you. Even though you're a novice and that's your favorite team, you're gonna bet with your heart, I'll ride with you. Today I didn't. I'm on the Raiders and I'm also on the under. But in other circumstances, generally, I'll ride with you. And we want to ride together. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we do. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. Sports supposed to be an escape. That sounds very stressful. That all sounds very stressful. No. Where can we sign up?
No, what do you mean sign up? So our social accounts are live.
Oh. Okay,
so on Twitter, it's just at @SNBets. On IG, it's at @SNBets. On TikTok, it's at @SNBets.
Okay.
That's it. I mean, easy peasy.
You can see why you're the president, the global ambassador, the executive
president.
Because chairman. Because like the group chats thing is 100% bang on. Like everybody has that group chat. Someone throws out something that they think they've researched or whatever. Everyone's like, okay, I haven't done the hard, heavy lifting with this, so I'm gonna jump on. And that's like the community feel that you really get when you're participating in the group. So I 100% feel you with that because I have the group chats and I gotta get in with one with you because that's I feel that.
No, Jesse, I don't want to expose you to some of the things that we get into, but I mean it's like we need to have a squad ride like when Tim returns, the four of us, whoever,
100%.
We have to go to a game, whether it's like opening weekend of the baseball season or it's like Raptors, you know. When Kyle Lowry comes back to Toronto, you know, that building's going to be on fire. We'll figure it out. But we need to ride as a squad.
We have a group chat that we're in with a bunch.
Multiple,
yes. But in terms of football, and if you put your phone away and let us know if you have a similar thing, like you go back to it to a solid 85 WhatsApp messages.
It is work to catch up.
And we have a specific friend who
is a volume shooter.
Oh, he's breaking things in there before you get the push alert on your phone. but the community of it, I think, is what makes it fun.
Thanks, man. Yeah, so that's what we want to do. Want to lean into that. Like, we really, our thing is, bro, it's like we don't want followers, we want friends. Mm. We want our for people who know us, we had a headquarters we call the compound. Now, that's super inside baseball, but, you know, whoever's watching this, there's like one friend's place where you would, you know, you commiserate or you go have your hangs, your pre's and all that kind of stuff. So that's, I don't know if we're going to have a physical space, but that's the vibe.
Yes.
We're going to be very vibey,
Newspit 2 would be the work equivalent of that.
Yeah, and again, that's also inside baseball, but that's like a work area that we had in our previous spot.
Tell me this, and keep it 100. In terms of whether it's, you know, betting, you know, fantasy, as you know, part of the squad.
Okay.
Who is the one Sportsnet personality that you just want to dominate? Like you want?
Oh, in like fantasy sports?
Or just like go against them in a bet because you want them to have a bad day?
That's a great question.
Because that is a motivator. Like, oh really? Your survivor pick is what? Can't wait to watch all four quarters.
So you're basically asking me to say who is my enemy?
Correct. Yes. Yes.
Well, then it's Tim McCauley.
Then it's fish hooks.
Yeah, because he fights dirty. And McCauley was on a little bit of a heater earlier in the season. I haven't tapped in a bit.
Yeah.
Has it cooled off a little bit? Well, there were a couple of bloodbaths this year in like week 7 or week 8. And even last week when Jonathan Taylor decided to stomp all over Buffalo's, the entire upstate New York with five touchdowns. then, like, you know,
it's, Cheek Tawaga felt it.
Cheek Rochester felt it. Tonawanga felt it.
Tim's 13-9, so he's still above.
What's your record?
10-6.
Okay.
And we'll have the picks later in the show today too.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, we had the Colts. I had the Colts last week. Nice Jonathan, I've been on Jonathan Taylor
since he was in Wisconsin.
6,000 yards at Wisconsin. Not many people in the NCAA have done that. So yeah, he's a good running back. Great running back. Best one in the league right now.
How
so,
is he against too high safety? When he gets a too high safety,
gives him some space. If Carson Wentz wants to just hit him on a bubble screen. Hey, so what's your lead?
Who are you?
The Ohio State and Michigan this weekend.
What's my lead?
Yeah, lean. Like who?
Oh, my lean.
Do you have a sense of where you're gonna? Because I think it's about a touchdown.
That's the line.
Seven? I think it's 6.5 or 7. Jesse can verify. But it's not more than a touchdown because these teams are like in the top 5 or 10.
It's the Ohio State. Thank you. I mean, that is your personal team.
Yeah, yeah. That's me betting with my heart.
The khaki wonder during his time in Michigan. But forget about them. Like, in big games, has been terrible. So I would say the Ohio State.
I'm sorry to derail the show.
8.
No.
This is 8 points?
Ohio State favored by 8.
Okay, so that line has moved a little bit.
It's 8. Are you a big parlay guy? I feel like we've talked about this.
Love before. Parlays.
You love parlays. Yeah. So did you hear about the one this past weekend where the guy turned $50 into over $1 million?
No.
Yeah, and he needed... he or she, I actually don't know who it is, but needed the Ravens money line to finish off a ridiculous. Like, I have it on the screen, guys, if you want to go to it. But he needed the Ravens. And we saw what happened because Lamar Jackson wasn't playing. Huntley comes in.
Yes, and it went down to the wire, didn't it?
Went down to the wire. It was a last second drive.
Oh, so this is the dream.
Into a million.
1.1?
So I guess the question is, like, are you dabbling in like
1,000%, Jesse?
Money line parlays and maybe sometimes spreads too.
Homie. We're going to mix in player props, sides, totals, more props. Like, that's the dream.
The props are really making a comeback here. Like, I feel
love my anytime touchdowns. Love my anytime goal scores. The other day we had a post on Sports that Connor McDavid didn't register a point like for the first time in like 25 games. Forever.
Yeah.
I was like, no, next night he's scoring for sure. My guy had 2 goals, 2 assists. Yeah. Like, bleep your post. Like, he read that post. He's like, okay, I choose violence.
100%.
So he chose violence against, what was it, Arizona, I think.
It just adds another dimension into watching sports. It makes it that much more fun.
When you have skin in the game, 100%. It's more fun. And then, when you just, it's a roller coaster. Obviously, you know, you call sports, you're there, you're our Gus Johnson with your enthusiasm. Turning some games that may not be great, but into a fun experience. We're here. We're here to do that on SN Bets.
What's the line in the UTEC Bowl this week? Who you got?
I need to check. I don't even know who's in it.
Cup last week.
Is it Laval in it? Probably.
Take the over. No, Laval's not. The favorites to make the Vanier in Canada this year would be the Western Mustangs.
There's no the University of Western Ontario. Mustangs. There's no the.
I mean, it was the University of Western Ontario. Now it's just Western University. Even though it's not on the west side, we claim.
Oh, it's not the... it got a name change? It's not UWO anymore?
Correct, yeah.
Oh, brand wow. New. Okay, my bad.
A lot of people walk around with sweatpants that are incorrect. and Montreal.
It's a good era, bro.
Coming out of these. Do you have time to stick around?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I appreciate the open invitation. I will stay beyond my... time to leave.
Okay.
I'll overstay my welcome is what I was trying to say.
Okay. He will play some bets during the break. Feel good day. Maybe we'll get some cutter and cut later. A little throwback Thursday, if you will. Jesse, Cab, and myself. Cutter and cut coming up next. You see the trends and... It is cutter on cut, and let's get right to it, because this guy filibusters like he's trying to stop motion being passed in Senate.
Yeah.
So let's get to it, Jesse.
The infrastructure bill?
Yes.
The infrastructure bill. So two OGs of cutter on cut, obviously. You guys know how it works, but for the viewers, cut is bad, uncut is good. I'm going to present the topic, and we're going to begin with Aaron Rodgers, because obviously he's been in the news a lot lately, not as much for what he's been doing on the field. Okay. But more of what he's been doing off of the field.
Yeah,
and
I'm
yesterday
into it.
During a Zoom, he wanted to put to rest any speculation that he had COVID toe. So he, in fact, has a broken toe, and he showed the toe on the screen. The question is, cut or uncut, showing your feet on a video call?
I mean, he's toe jam free, which is good.
And they look clean.
They do look clean. We've seen the, we see the bottom of his feet. We don't know what the nail situation is like. I mean, it's not only that he did that, he then made it his Twitter avatar.
Yeah, I love that.
So that's you that he's confident in his foot game.
Hey, listen, we as society have asked for more transparency from our athletes. That is like quite transparent. I'm gonna say it's uncut.
I have his profile picture on the screen if you guys want to go to it.
Doesn't he have like the Bitcoin eyes, like the crypto?
Just the foot. Yeah, it's just the foot.
This dude's tremendous.
Just the foot. So
one of my favorite humans.
Yeah, I mean, still a good quarterback though, regardless of what he's doing off the field.
Great
quarterback.
Yes.
Okay, we've heard of proposals at sporting events, but this next one takes it up a notch. Hornets Magic game last night on the Kiss Cam. Check out the font at the bottom of the video board here. Finds out he's going to be a dad. Finds out he's going to be a dad. I'm not a dad yet, so I can't really weigh in here. But DJ, cut or uncut, finding out you're going to be a dad on video in front of thousands of people.
Cut. No, this isn't exactly, you know, Maury Povich, you are the father. But it's a little too close. Like, that is a special, personal moment. I won't exactly share how I found out, but I was not at Scotiabank Arena.
You weren't at BMO Field?
I was not
at Bell Center in Montreal?
No.
Oh, man.
And can I just say before you
go? You seemed happy.
Any announcement? Public announcement, other than it's somebody's birthday at a sporting event, is cut.
The like proposals proposal, are out on.
Cut.
Yes, I'm with you on that.
And this, new, still cut.
Well, you know, I'm going to say it's uncut because this is the first time I've ever, like, have any of us
seen this before?
So because you're the first, it's uncut. Because you're perhaps a trendsetter. Obviously, there's a lot of joy. Look at how much joy she had in revealing. And you know what? Also uncut because it wasn't a gender reveal. Right. Those are like, we've seen those a million.
So you don't think that's coming after this?
Right?
If you're doing this, you are predisposed to the gender reveal. And by the way,
is the gender reveal going to be like a half, like the halftime performance?
Probably.
Ja Rule can make it.
It's not going to be at the playoffs because the Magic won't be there.
Good breaking basketballs for the color.
And because they're the first, you're rating it. Who wants to be the Neil Armstrong or the Jackie Robinson of telling your partner that he is a dad at a sporting event?
I think she wants to be the Amelia Earhart because you said we're taking it higher, we're leveling up.
Right.
And that's I don't know. I don't know where I was
going. You wonder where my mind goes whenever I see something like this nowadays? It's 2021. I just think it's.
For the brand? For the clout?
Yeah. I think he knew before.
Oh!
And they set it up. And everyone's showing it. We're showing it. Everybody shows it. It's so sad that that's where my mind goes in 2021.
You're probably right.
I just think everything's a setup now. So hopefully it wasn't. Hopefully they enjoyed it. And congratulations.
Congratulations. We probably should have set up the top.
Yeah, probably should have set it on the top. Okay, last night, Anthony Edwards with his latest poster. Basically, jumped over Gabe Vincent.
And then look at it.
Absolutely absurd dunk, but it was called off for a charge. It's a simple one here. Cut or uncut. Calling a foul to negate a dunk like that. I'll start with you, Cabby.
Oh my gosh, like when I saw this on IG yesterday, my comment was D's, and that's it. Because that's like, I mean.
He's got hops, man.
He does have hops, and in a different era, I could finish the, you know, the interlude from that one Snoop Dogg record. But anyway, I mean, this is cut. Let the man have this one, like, have his NFT moment. I mean, Watanabe was baptized, in the bubble?
Yes.
And Anthony Edwards just straight baptizing dudes. And maybe that would be the name of his mixtape.
That is just ridiculous.
Cut. Cut.
It is so cut. One, it's cut because I don't know if it was actually a charge. Like, can it be a charge if you're already in the air? So what? I'm off the ground. And I love the fact that he gave him a little head massage. That was the most disrespectful part of the dunk. Guys like on the Miami Heat bench were getting
like, you got to get up and fight. Like maybe not like Isaiah Stewart, but you got to get up and, like, you got to put a head in somebody's chest. Because, obviously, my guy is just going to be on the internet forever. And that was his baptism. Maybe he got one or 13, and then here's a grown man.
Wendell Carter Jr. had a big dunk last night that counted. means nothing. Like, you're right. That was the actual dunk of the night.
Yes, yeah, agreed. So, right. So, it shouldn't matter that it counted or didn't count. They won the game anyway. Who cares? Like, that can
no,
be
no, no. That
right?
should that no. should count.
The
that
ref should have counted it.
Okay. If you're both cut.
If the ref was cut. Going block, count it. After I see it, no, it's going in. I don't care.
Yeah. Like, flow of the
if
game.
If
like,
it was back of the rim, like, all right, foul, right. But because he murked it.
Yeah, that's dude's got hops, man. Playing well too. Okay, back to the Hornets and Magic game. We're not talking about any reveals or anything like this, but LaMelo Ball been playing really well of late, but not here.
Up two
in the second quarter. Okay, LaMelo all alone, obviously going in for the self alley-oop. Blows it. I get the part there where he's trying to entertain the crowd, but did he go a little too far? Cut or uncut, trying to self alley-oop with a 2-point lead, Donovan?
Cut, because to your point, entertain the crowd, he's on the road. He's at home. Nobody
he's
cares.
Got an
he's
entertainment got business.
This is a rookie of the year. Reigning rookie of the year.
He doesn't have that many fans. No, it's cut. Just dunk it, windmill it. But this, it's not the dunk contest, homie.
Okay, but listen, had he made it, would it be uncut?
No, he was barely at the rim, which is why it didn't go in.
I know, but had he made the shot, had he reversed it, then would that be uncut? Because I feel like the premise of your argument is. Don't entertain, like, don't try to entertain the crowd because you just fell on your face, basically.
This is a results-oriented business, right?
What about the process?
No.
We got to trust the process, too.
Where's my guy, Denny Green?
They are who we thought they were.
I'm not impressed.
I don't even... Like, if you're his teammates, be like, oh, homie, you got to take an Uber back to the hotel. Or you got to take an Uber to the airport.
I don't think anybody has that control over LaMelo. Like, LaMelo is the best player on that team. He said, I don't think anyone said anything.
They should take away his Lambo then. Like, bro, you got to give me the keys to your Lambo, your highlighter green Lambo, because you can't rock this for the next month because you are on probation for something so horrible. And hopefully for, like, until December 31st, dudes are just, keep sending him that clip. As a reminder, like, get your hops up.
He did get subbed out of the game immediately after that, yeah.
Actually, we need a 20.
Okay, so the Matt Nagy situation in Chicago is a bit of a fiasco. Did get a victory today.
But he did?
There were reports that he was getting fired after the game, regardless of the result. Adam Schefter tweeting earlier today, according to the front office, that Nagy's job is safe. And Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk responding, if it's a complete lie, why not just say it publicly instead of using Schefter as a mouthpiece? Ooh. Schefter responding with happy Thanksgiving, ooh, simply. Cut or uncut, subtweeting your competitors like that, Kat?
Oh, I'm here for the pettiness. Mm. I mean, we love it in the NBA when dudes are commenting on each other's posts or the eye emojis or whatever. But it's rare to see media on media crime. Like the day that like Woj or Shams go at it, who are like the insiders, yeah, in the NBA. I know Schefter's peer is probably Ian Rappaport, but no, I'm here for all of it. Cause like, you know, it's just entertainment.
Oh, I love petty. I love Lisa Petty. So I'm down for it. And you know, as you know, sometimes there is you send the tweet to someone else and say, hey, can I post this? Right?
Right.
This is beyond that level. They are going at each other's necks. So let me further know, there's probably some off-phone beef between the two of them. Maybe a guy scooped another guy and so forth. So I'm here for it.
What Schefter did, just the happy Thanksgiving, like he knows where he stands in the insider game. Like that's what that says to me. It's like, I don't need to bother with an in-depth response here. Like all I have to say is happy Thanksgiving and that'll say what it needs to say, right?
Sean Carter, Jay-Z, once said, beef up, don't beef down.
Don't beef down, So it's a nice punctuation by Schefter, but it's also like a bleep you happy Thanksgiving.
Yes.
I'm gonna be scrolling through your guys' Twitter accounts now to see if you've subtweeted any of your competitors in the past. I got for Cut or Uncut. Well done, boys.
Thank you, man. Thank you, that was fun.
Well, thank you for stopping
by. My pleasure,
by.
Man. My pleasure.
Spending a little bit of time. I know you're busy meeting with the board of SN Bets in terms of what the future might look like. So thank you for spending some time. Shout out to Josh Jacobs. Condolences on not
Good luck to your boys today. Your Cowboys.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you for ruining the first half of the game for me. Listen, after the break, we'll get you caught up on what's happening in the NFL now that Cab has ruined it. It is Thanksgiving down south. Plus, Blake Murphy drops by studio. He'll break down some basketball X and O's because evidently Cabby set the bar with his football X's and O's. We'll roll on and continue on Tim and Friends without Tim. Too high safety.
Time for real sports talk with Tim McAuliffe and friends of the show.
A lot of friends of the show. Thank you, Sheepdogs, back here for hour number two on, as you heard, Tim Friends. And lucky me, we have another friend in studio, Blake Murphy, co-host of the Fan Morning Show, and for us, a Raptors insider. Thank you for doing this because I have a couple times filled in on breakfast television. And I know the early morning hours are real. They wreck your life. And I did not do anything after that. So thank you for humoring us.
Yeah, it's hard, man. It's the gym has been slacking for sure after those 6 to 10 a.m. shows. And then, you know, a day like today, you're almost crossing your fingers for that Lions-Bears game to be as boring as it was.
Right.
It's just pass out on the couch for a little bit. It's been good.
So Matt Nagy's offense put you to sleep.
Exactly. If there could be afternoon football every day, I'd be fine.
Yeah,
as long as it's Lions games.
I wish there was afternoon football every day. Jesse, we have some afternoon football, so why don't we get to some highlights?
There was, yeah. We got to check in on Matt Nagy's offense, right? Dan Campbell's Lions offense, because it's just both teams are brutal. We're calling it is. We said a couple days ago that who's going to watch this game? I guess it's football fans everywhere. Some confusion during the coin toss. So let's get started.
Detroit has won the toss and elected to defer. Chicago, you want the ball? You want the ball? They defer. You want the ball. You want the ball. Which way do you want to kick? Chicago will receive at this end.
They don't know the rules. Christian Jones trying to defer the kick after the Lions already deferred. So that's the way it starts on Thanksgiving Thursday. Second quarter, Andy Dalton over the middle to Jimmy Graham for his first touchdown of the season. Bears loses a 5 straight. They go up 10-7. Red Rocket loves it. Under 2 to go in the half. Dalton going end zone. Amani Uware picks it off. His fifth interception of the season. It's a pretty good throw, but a better interception, Deej.
That's some.
Yeah. Look, I don't know about the orchestrated celly when you haven't won a game all season, but whatever. All right, under 2 minutes left in the game. Bears down 1. Third and 9 of the Detroit 16. The play whistled down because Lions defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn calls timeout. Now, here's the problem with that. It's Detroit's second straight timeout without running a play, and that, my friends, is an automatic 5-yard penalty. So now it's 3rd and 4 for the Bears. Dalton converts to Demir Byrd for the first down. Bears, they then decide to run down the clock to set up a game-winning field goal. Cairo Santos, money from 28 yards out, snaps Chicago's 5-game losing streak. It appears Matt Nagy is safe for now, but nonetheless, Blake fell asleep during this one. The Lions remain winless. 16-14, the final there. Raiders and Cowboys. Deej, I know this highlight pack might pain you a little bit. First quarter, opening Raiders drive. Derek Carr up top for DeSean Jackson. Hauls it in. 56-yard catch and run. Still doing it.
What angles are we?
34th career touchdown. 50-plus yards for DeSean. Second most all-time behind only Jerry Rice. 7-0 Cowboys. Ensuing drive, Dak Prescott.
Get it.
Finds tight end Sean McKeon, first career score, 10-yard touchdown, a missed point after, can't do that, makes it 7-6. Next possession, Carr looking for the big man, Darren Waller, loses the football. Keanu Neal, great play, tossing it away from the sideline. Dallas scoops it up. However, the pass ruled incomplete, and the Raiders would eventually punt it away later in the quarter after a penalty put Las Vegas on the 1-yard line. This is what Cabby did not want to see today.
Neither did I.
That is Josh Jacobs, untouched, into the end zone. The Raiders in front 14-6, and it looks like the Cowboys have just scored a touchdown to make it 17-13, so there is life for you, DJ.
Yeah, still relatively close game. There's time.
Cabby's under still in play. It's gonna be tight though.
No CeeDee Lamb, no Amari Cooper for the Cowboys. So I mean, yes, they're probably still a better team, but a little weakened at the skill positions today.
Still time. I have faith. Do you have a football team?
Oh, wow.
The Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, man. How did that come about?
So when I first started getting into football, first of all, good jerseys, good Madden team with the Mark Brunell, Jimmy Smith, Fred Taylor combination. So, you know, early, especially the more crude versions of Madden, you just need the quarterback, running back, one wide receiver to throw to. You just jam on the triangle receiver. And yeah, that was pretty much it. And you're in high school. You don't have a team. You don't have an association here. So that's the way it went.
I think the Mark Brunell lefty got a lot of people on the Jag side early in the Madden games, because there weren't a lot of quarterbacks that were left-handed. And like, sometimes you want to change things up a little bit, right? You don't always want to play with the right-handed throwing quarterbacks. So you bring in Mark Brunell, lefty, and I think a lot of people were probably on your side. And they're international too, right? They go to London all the time. They got fans everywhere. So yeah, it makes sense. They got fans. They're international.
Yeah, they own Fulham too.
Way to try and sell it. Yeah, sure. Natron Beans is fun. Though. Yeah, sure.
Maybe there's a third Jaguars fan.
Right. Speaking of international, maybe some tennis highlights?
Davis Cup. Yeah, Davis Cup highlights. Spoiler alert. Didn't go so well for Canada today. First match of the best of three tie. Canada without top players Denis Shapovalov and Felix Auger-Aliassime. So Steven Diaz representing his country for the first time since 2010, taking on Elias Emer. First set we go. Emer down a break. Tracks down the drop shot, then puts away the volley. He breaks and takes the first set 6-4. Pretty play there. Second set, Emer up 3-1. And that is a forehand winner down the line. Leads to his second break of the set. Emer wins in straight sets, 6-4, 6-2, as Sweden takes match one, match number two. Here we go. Vasek Pospisil facing the younger Emer brother, 23-year-old Michael Emer, fitting in with today's theme of the show, younger brothers. First set, Emer gets Pospisil going the other way. The young Swede breaks and wins the first set 6-4. Like I said, not going great for the Canadians today. First set, Emer up a break. Second set, Emer up a break, hammers the forehand winner, and he too wins in straight set 6-4, 6-4. Canada lose their opening tie to Sweden. And if you were listening to the show yesterday, it didn't go so well, or Arash Madani anticipated that it wasn't going to go so well for Canada, because Auger-Aliassime and Shapovalov are not playing in the Davis Cup.
There's so many different Arashes. There's Vikings Arash, Twitter Arash, there's Olympic Arash. I love ranting Arash.
Davis Cup Arash.
Davis Cup Arash is my favorite Arash. A little bit better news for Canada's basketball team. Maybe we'll get some basketball talk in since we have Blake with us. It was an impressive comeback win for the Raptors last night. If you missed it, maybe you host the morning show, you had to go to sleep. Here's a quick reminder.
Grizzlies with a turnover. Great extra. Look, Barnes to a Chua 3-on-2 break. Up top, Scotty Barnes. The Raptors have tied it. 17-5 run. Oh, the denial.
What a beautiful block. Utah Watanabe, he has been sensational.
Gary Trent Jr.
15 points in the fourth quarter. Scotty Barnes dropping a dime.
Van Vliet on the attack. Oh, Freddie double V. Slicing and Dyson, they're trailing 71-59.
They earned it.
Raptors, an impressive win.
Love that win, because I think we got a glimpse in that second half of who this team can become if they have that full group with them. Got a little Yuta Watanabe on my I love. For you, because actually a lot of people have been freaking out about the defense, and the first half didn't help. You did a rundown YouTube video breaking down the defense. What have you been seeing, if anything, that has changed the wild swings we've seen? Some porous defense and some flashes, some real great play on that end.
Yeah, so the in and out of the lineup is a real thing. This is a defense, though, that was top six in the league through their first 9 games, and they've been dead last in the 10 games since. I don't care what's going on with your roster. I don't care what's going on with the in and out. You can't be dead last over any 10-game stretch in the season. So that's a big problem. And you look at what's underneath that, and there are a lot of different things going wrong here for the Raptors. Nick Nurse's style is very aggressive with a purpose. They want to force a lot of turnovers. They want to get out and run, and they want to make opponents uncomfortable. To do that, they're willing to, first of all, have no one on the roster who's bigger than 6'9", which is not the greatest thing. And they're willing to give up corner threes. Now, what they're not doing lately that they need to take a better a better job of taking care of is, first of all, the defensive glass has been a disaster. And they cleaned that up in the second half last night. Memphis did them a bit of a favor by not playing a lot of Jaren Jackson Jr. and Steven Adams. But they did a better job there. They need to do a better job of not sending opponents to the line, which is, you know, something you're going to give up when you play this aggressive a strategy sometimes. And the big thing is, right now the Raptors are doing this. They switch and they trap and they try to get the ball out of star players' hands because they don't have a natural rim protector. Precious Achiuwa is probably the closest thing to that. He's 6'9". He has some nice burst, but he's 6'9". So how do you make up for that? Well, it's this switching, it's this trapping, it's this making guys uncomfortable. And what they haven't been doing over this 10-game stretch is when players get to the rim, denying them at all. So opponents are shooting around 71% at the rim over this 10-game stretch, which is, you know, unless you're giving up no rim attempts, that's real bad. That's open gym kind of stuff. So the encouraging thing about all that, though, is that there are a lot of little things you could just do a little bit better, and things start pulling in the right direction. So you see in last night's second half, Pascal Siakam goes from having what I thought were pretty rough first couple games defensively to just a monster second half defensively. Yuta Watanabe comes in and he gives you that spark with a couple steals, a couple monster blocks, a couple offensive rebounds. Guys start getting going. I think Precious Achiuwa, the fact that he had a 17-point quarter and was getting out in transition, that fueled his defense a little bit. And then it just kind of starts to snowball because then the Grizzlies are a little uncomfortable. The Grizzlies are forcing a little bit. So you go from allowing 71 in the first half, 41 in the second half. That's going to happen some nights with just like a team gets hot, a team gets cold. But the quality of defense underneath that should not swing that dramatically for a team that should be at worst average on defense.
So the other area that people have, you know, been concerned about and some have freaked out about, it's been the bench. And for me, you know, full disclosure, I look at this entire year as R&D, research and development, right? You're not going to win a championship, newsflash. But you also don't want to be the Kings. Like, you don't want to be an embarrassment. Mm-hmm. And so it's really figuring out who and how can you get back to that championship level. And people have stressed about the bench, but given the fluid roster, you know, some bench pieces have been starting or playing bigger minutes. Now that we've seen closer to what this group will look like, in your estimation, what should and maybe what will that rotation look like as guys settle into their roles?
Yeah, I think, you know, we might get a little bit of a look at that on Friday. Ken Birch is out, but OG Anunoby's questionable again, so maybe OG works back in. And I think in terms of your R&D point, where is this team going? How do the most important pieces fit? What you're looking at is Fred, OG, Pascal, Scotty. That's the foursome. And Gary Trent and Ken Birch to a lesser degree, and some other guys, of course, everyone matters. But those are the four guys that you need to see how that all works together. They've only played 52 minutes together this year. The other thing that flows from that is once you have those four guys, Nick Nurse's rotation patterns can be a little more deliberate. Right now, he's having to change game to game of like, okay, who do I have? And then how does the bench lineup look? And how do I not play Fred VanVleet 40 minutes every single night? When you have all of those guys, you can sit down with it and be a little more intentional about, hey, I want Pascal and Scotty here, and I want Fred and OG here, and we'll work bench units around those guys that fit those two starters being staggered. I think Gary Trent's going to see more minutes with the bench, which is great because that shooting really helps. And then on the night Svi doesn't have it, you can scale him back a little bit. I think, I know people look at Utah's, you know, 4.4 points per game last year or whatever, and the fact that he was 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th in the rotation at times, and maybe sleep on the fact a little bit that he's a big defense and energy guy, and Chris Boucher's had a rough season so far. There could be a minutes crunch there where Utah takes some of that role too. So I think, you know, a lot of their roster when they're at their best skews with those bigger guys, and that's their identity and that's how they want to play. And if they get some health back in the starting lineup and that lets the bench find that consistent identity, that's a pretty big thing for them, I think.
I love it. I don't know if you were up to see the game, but I'm sure you saw the highlights.
I don't miss Raptors games.
No, a different game.
Oh, sorry.
Warriors Sixers, the Curry battle.
Oh, yes.
And you know, Steph puts younger brother Seth in the spin cycle. You know, I want your Warriors takes, but I more importantly want, you know, this take. What's the meanest thing you did to one of your younger siblings?
Oof. That's a tough one. So I have two younger siblings. One's 3 years younger than me. One's 5 years younger than me. I think probably like the meanest thing that I've done, and this is too mean, but like we did a lot of like backyard wrestling and stuff.
Okay.
And there were the odd time that I'm the oldest brother, right? I'm the biggest, I'm the strongest. this is the odd time you know, make it. It's a little less fake, is what I'm saying.
Right.
So there's probably some stuff like that. I think I'm overall a pretty good big brother, but the other thing is, so my youngest brother played hockey like me and played basketball like me, and inviting him out for hockey pickup just to make sure he's not on my team and try to embarrass him and pick on him that way. I don't have anything too mean. I'm sorry.
you're too nice. I mentioned I want your Warriors take, and here's the actual Warriors question. Because when I look league-wide at teams who could win a championship, you know, I was ridiculed when we did predictions at the beginning of the year, and I put them in there as my champion. But they're actually trying to do something that the Raptors are one of the only few other organizations that have tried to do. They've tried to win at a high level and develop at the exact same time. And when you look what they've done thus far, 16-2, don't have their, you know, top pick from a year ago in Wiseman yet. Don't have Clay, who I am with him. He should have been in the top 75, ranking with them yet, although he's coming off of two, you know, lower leg injuries. What is their pathway to winning a championship? And is it realistic for them to get back to that dynasty level?
Yeah, I think so. And I don't know how long the runway is for that dynasty beyond this year as guys continue to age and stuff. But Draymond is playing like a defensive player of the year again. Steph Curry is playing like an MVP again. And, you know, not a lot needs to flow from there to be really, really good. And then you mentioned you have Klay coming back maybe in the next month. You have Jordan Poole, who is a guy that they've developed successfully. They've helped Andrew Wiggins find what his NBA role is and what his ideal place is. And forget the contract. He's been really, really good for them. So I think it's a testament to, you know, the humility, I guess, to the last 2 years. Be like, look, this isn't working. This isn't the year for us. We need to have a longer-term plan in place. And yeah, those last 2 years were probably tough for Warriors fans, but this is why. You have a healthy Steph Curry, you have a ready-to-go Draymond Green, and in the process, you've built up the core around them a little bit for right now, and hey, it's the Warriors and luxury tax doesn't matter to them, maybe as trade assets as well.
You know, that X factor for that group, I think, might be the Canadian in Andrew Wiggins, right? He's really like a luxury for them in that culture, in that atmosphere. If he scratches the surface on the potential that we've obviously in this country talked about for a long time, you know, and plays consistently, they're going to be a pretty scary bunch. Speaking of Canada basketball, can you stick around?
Yeah, absolutely.
Talk some Canada basketball. They're getting set, as we've talked about, to take on the Bahamas on Sunday and Monday as they begin their World Cup qualifying campaign. We'll discuss the road and the players who are hoping to help Canada get off to a real good start. That's coming up next. Welcome back. Canada's men's are getting set to start their FIBA World Cup qualifying campaign this weekend. They play the Bahamas back-to-back Sunday and Monday. And you can see both of those games, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, right here on Sportsnet and Sportsnet Now. This is becoming your home for all things Canada basketball in this country. You've been covering our national program for a long time. It's one of the ways we had to try and lure you over here and sweeten the pot by getting you to come aboard. But, you know, one thing that many Canadian basketball fans, myself included, doesn't really understand is, how does this qualifying work? Because it has changed so many times over time. So really explain what these games mean for the ultimate goal of getting into the big dance.
Right. So I'm going to do this really quickly, and I'll have a longer explainer up at sportsnet.ca, I think on Saturday, that goes through the entire two-year qualifying process. But right now what Canada is trying to do is qualify for the 2023 World Cup. Now, like in soccer, the World Cup in basketball is a bigger tournament. Some of the European and South American teams take it as a bigger tournament than the Olympics. But Canadian basketball fans want Canada to get back to the Olympics. And the best way to do that, and the easiest way to do that, is to finish top seven at the World Cup. There's a little bit of like juggling for zones and stuff like that, but roughly top seven in the World Cup. Otherwise, you have to do what Canadian basketball fans know all too well, and it's those last chance Olympic qualifying tournaments where you can come back 10 points in a minute and lose in overtime, and that's it. Your Olympic dream's done. So these qualifiers, there will be six windows of them over the course of the next 2 years or a year and a half. A lot of them will take place like this one within the NBA and EuroLeague season, which means Canada's depth of talent really gets tested here. You're pulling guys from EuroCup level, your international teams. You're pulling guys that are fresh out of college, like an AJ Lawson. You're picking guys who are on the way up in their careers, like a Cassius Robertson, or guys who have been around a long time and can provide some quick, steady leadership, like an Owen Clausen or a Junior Kadugian. So, two games against a team that's ranked way below you seems like a layup, but you have almost no time to connect and come together. And because your record and your point differential carry over round to round, you really want to get these going. And this is the first window of them. So you really want to come out and like win by 20, win by 30 right out of the gate.
Yeah, and one thing that, you know, Tim and the guys on this show have talked about for a long time is just the level of dedication and commitment mm-hmm. by the group, by the entire pool, because it's a numbers game. And most of, if not all of these players, won't be on the team if and when this program gets into the Olympics. And I think that's really the best part of it. There's always a narrative and a story in our country about who's not playing mm-hmm. and why and who should be playing. And I just love the fact that I think we should celebrate and give flowers to people like the Scrub Brothers for continuing to step up for their country. And every so often, people play so well, not only abroad, but in that setting, that they cash in and they end up not being available because they're playing in the NBA, like a guy like Kevin Pangos.
Yeah, Kevin Pangos in the NBA. Daishon Pierre is a guy who's been with the program a lot, and he's now at the highest level overseas with a EuroLeague team, so he can't make it either. I think it's great. I think it's really important. You look at some of the summer sessions and the larger tournaments, and we'll at Sportsnet have the FIBA AmeriCup this summer too, which should have a pretty good turnout of guys. It can help you a lot. I think it helped Andrew Wiggins this past season figuring out who he is and what he needs to do. I think it helped a guy like Pangos. And yeah, in terms of the commitment of these guys, I think during the qualification for the 2019 World Cup, which Canada made and didn't perform particularly well in, 35 different players suited up over these qualifier windows. And obviously you have a 12-man roster when the ball goes up. So 35 guys there, yes. The guys like the Scrubs, I remember a couple summers ago, Thomas Scrub like went right from his wedding back yes. to with the national team. A guy like Aaron Best, who people might remember from not only from U Sports, but from Raptors 905 as well, always turning out for those things. You can go down the list. Anthony Bennett's another one who, you know, I know his NBA, the NBA side of things went how it did, but Anthony Bennett is always there for mm-hmm. Team Canada. So all of these guys, all the names on that list you see there deserve a ton of credit for coming out, because it's not, you know, it's not an easy thing to, you get a small break in the calendar overseas. This is a chance where maybe otherwise you'd get to come home and see your family for U.S. Thanksgiving or for an extended break, or just keep going with your club team. And you've got these guys, you know, Kenny Cherry's a great example. He's having a breakout year next to Phil Scrub, and you know, I don't know that team loves maybe losing their entire starting backcourt to these qualifiers, but it's important to these guys to rep Canada and help keep the momentum going.
The other thing I love about this is the commitment is certainly by the players, but when you talk about those previous windows, the players weren't the only thing that was fluid. So was the coaches and the coaching staff. And now, hopefully, there's some consistency from what's happening to the senior men's team all the way down, because you have the two Nates there, Nate Dogs. As the Raptors have said, you know what, our assistants who are part of this program, we're going to allow them in the middle of our season to be there, because that's how important it is to Canada basketball and thus the country. I when I saw that, I was like, that's big, because many NBA organizations would not be that generous with their coaching talent.
Yeah, and I think that's twofold, right? That's one, you know, the Raptors are heavily invested in Canada basketball. Nick Nurse has coached that program since 2019, and he's signed back on through the 2024 Olympics. And then there's just a commitment to helping your assistant coaches grow and recognizing the importance of international basketball, where the last couple of years when Sergio Scariolo was on the staff, he was allowed to go back home and coach with Spain as well. So I like it from that front. And yeah, the consistency aspect is huge. Gordy Bear, who's coached a lot of the windows, deserves, again, a lot of credit for the commitment and stuff, but this will be a consistent voice. This is two of Nick Nurse's NBA assistants, two of Nick Nurse's Canada basketball assistants. If you're Nathaniel Mitchell, you've been with this program since 2016, probably even before that in an unofficial capacity. Yeah. Like, the top Canadian guys, when they're back in Toronto in the summer, it's Nate Mitchell they're calling to work out. Always. So there's a consistency there, too, and I think that's great. And then I think it's great, too, to, you know, just continue. I know Nate Bjorkgren isn't Canadian, but this will help continue to build Canadian coaches too, which is another part of, you know, what this program wants to accomplish.
Yeah, and his obviously stint in Indiana didn't go as planned, but giving him more reps as a head coach. Before we move on, is there one guy that you think Canadians really should pay attention to because he's going to show out and show them something?
Yeah, I'm going to give you two, if that's okay. Yeah. So I mentioned both of them earlier, but Kenny Cherry is a guy who, real breakout season, I think he's 29 and making his senior national team debut right now, but he's a guy who those of us on, you know, Real GM or Canada Basketball Twitter who project these rosters ahead or just like to talk about it, it's like, okay, when's Kenny Cherry coming? When's Kenny Cherry coming? And it's time. The other one is Cassius Robertson, who, when you look at this roster, there's some good depth. There's a lot of defensive versatility and skill set versatility, but who's the guy when you need a bucket? And I think that's Cassius Robertson. I think he's the best natural scorer in this group, and I think he's a guy that Canadian basketball fans might recognize the name but not recognize the game yet, and Sunday and Monday are a really good opportunity to check in on Cassius Robertson. We don't know the starters yet. I'm guessing he's going to be kind of the microwave man, the Jordan Clarkson off the bench kind of role for them, so I think people will enjoy his game as well.
Well, you are the guy who, when we need a cap and CBA breakdown or a breakdown on all things international basketball while sleep-deprived, we call. So thank you for coming through. Go get some rest. Get a nap.
We got football on.
All right. Fair enough. That's what the PVR is for.
Yeah, but we'll be all right.
All right. Well, thank you for coming in. You've always been like such a great supporter of me personally, like behind the scenes. So I love the fact we're now teammates.
Yeah, me too, man. It feels overdue.
Yes.
Happy to come on, and looking forward to a lot more, especially, I mean, you and I, but also with this Canada Basketball Sportsnet thing.
Yeah, it's awesome. Go get some rest. No rest for us. Coming up, a day after his father was hired by Toronto FC, the captain, Michael Bradley, stops by to discuss the hire and what the future might hold for him in the club. We'll do all of that next on Tim and Friends. Stay with us.
I'm lucky. I know more than anyone. How good my dad is.
That was Michael Bradley yesterday after Toronto FC announced that his dad is joining the club. Well, he joins us today here on Tim and Friends. His dad joins as sporting director and head coach. And Michael, thank you for joining us. And so I try to stay close to my parents because I need some babysitting help at times. But given the role that your dad has, it seems like he's going to be pretty busy. We'll talk about the football in a second, but from a family perspective, what's it like for you to have yet another Bradley as a part of the organization and in town in Toronto?
It's a dream come true, honestly. I joked yesterday, I don't think there are two happier people in Toronto than my son and daughter. They're 9 and 7, and they've never lived by any family. You know, we lived in Europe, and now obviously for the last 8 years we've been here in Toronto, and they've gotten so used to, you know, FaceTime and you know, visits, and but they've never had the opportunity to live close to their grandparents. And so, you know, just on a family level, we are all so proud and excited, and that part is really special.
Yeah, for American Thanksgiving, another thing to give thanks about. Given that, and, you know, he joins, obviously, the organization, and, you know, Uncle Jeff as well as part of TFC. What were the conversations like with you and him? Were you going into recruiter mode to get him to join the project?
I didn't have to be honest. You know, I mean, my dad's watched, like he said yesterday at his press conference, he's watched every single Toronto FC game for the last 8 years, and a lot of them two and three times. He's been here countless times. He knows the city. He was in the stadium on the night that we won MLS Cup in 2017. So he you know, for an outsider up until yesterday, there isn't anyone who could possibly know the club and everything that has gone on better than him. And so, you know, when the conversations started to pick up steam, we spoke as we always do and you know, talked about certain things, but it wasn't, I never had to, you know, it wasn't that I ever had to recruit or really take him through things, because he knows it all, and it was more just about how can we get things really, really going here.
I imagine you had some conversations with him in a similar aspect when you decided to join the club, which seems so long ago that it was a bloody big deal. What differences do you see in the club that you joined back then and the club that he's joining now?
Good question. You know, I think the potential of the club continues to get bigger and bigger. You know, when you look at the rise of Canadian soccer, you know, what the men's national team is doing right now, how well they've gone about World Cup qualifying. You know, when you look at the Canadian women's team and their winning of the gold medal at the Olympics, it's you know, soccer is growing in a huge way in this country. And you know, I always understand that Canada and Toronto, they're you know, hockey will always be there, and it'll always be the traditional sport. But having said that, for anyone who has lived here over the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years, you can also clearly see that things are shifting in this younger generation. Whether it's whether it's soccer, or basketball, you know, TFC, the Raptors, there's huge potential there. And so, you know, obviously the club that I came to 8 years ago had only potential, because there hadn't been any success. There was no. Other than the fans, and other than the diehard fans who had stuck by the team through those first handful of years, even when things on the field were so poor, the club had nothing to draw on. There was no history. There had been no success. And now, obviously, we have those things. We've established ourselves as one of the best clubs in MLS. We've won things. We've been to finals. We've been to the final of CONCACAF Champions League, and so we've been able to do all that. But now the next the next iteration of this team and for the club has to be that we're taking it to a new level, and you know, we're ready to really really push things forward in a strong way.
You know, the club has been beneficiary of some of the rise of the Canadian soccer players, as you mentioned. And that rise means that Canada is a bit more of a player on the world stage, as you mentioned. What is the team group chat like? Because there's a massive qualifying test coming up between the U.S. and Canada that might decide, forget about who goes to the World Cup, might decide who's top of the table. What are those internal conversations between you and your fellow Canucks on the team?
Yeah, look, we have a huge representation right now, not just between Canada and the United States, but, you know, Kamar Lawrence plays for Jamaica, Eric Zavaleta plays for El Salvador. You know, so when these national team windows come, we've got guys going all over the place. And so, you know, there's, as you can imagine, there's respect and appreciation for one another. Guys wish each other well. But there's no doubt that Canada and our Canadian players feel like now they've taken a big step forward in this last stretch, and now are really, you know, look, I don't want to speak for them, but I think they feel like in a lot of ways they are or can be the best team in CONCACAF, and clearly, clearly that's the feeling in the American team, and so yeah, it's exciting times, you know. Obviously, World Cup next December, the World Cup coming here in 2026. The Major League Soccer continues to grow in a huge way. And that for me again is where TFC comes in, which is as the game grows in at all levels in this country and in North America, if we can continue to prove week in and week out, year in and year out, what a good club we are, what a team we have, the football that we can play, people are gonna want to come every week and watch and really really root for us in a strong way.
Josie's a guy who has played internationally, obviously, with you in the past. Right now, he's just looking to get healthy and stay healthy. A big reason why he came to the club is because you were here. Given your relationship, what are the nature of the conversations that you're having with him about, his future?
Yeah, look, I know that there's a lot going on right now. There's a lot to the whole situation, with Josie and the club. I would say this: Josie is without a doubt one of the best, if not the best, player to ever play for this club. If you are a TFC fan, or if you follow Toronto sports, you know exactly where you were when he scored the goal against Seattle in the final in 2017. People will be talking about that and remember that forever. And as a teammate, as someone who has shared so many special days with him, as a friend, I want the best solution for him. I want him to really figure out for him and his family what's best. What does he want at this point in his life and his career? And however that pans out, as a teammate and as someone who has been with him on so many big days, I'll never forget and always appreciate everything that he's given us.
And before I let you go, you mentioned that night, 2017. We know where you were. You were lifting the trophy. Have you allowed yourself to imagine what it would be like to lift that trophy and hand it to your dad?
Yeah, I have imagined it. I have, for sure. I think we're all little kids at heart still. It doesn't matter whether you're 9 years old and playing in your backyard or 33 years old, 34 years old, playing still in MLS. Like you dream of things, and I still have that huge desire to win, that huge desire to lift more trophies, and to be able to do that and share that with my dad at a certain point, that would be really special.
Well, we know Granddad is going to be lifting his grandkids. Hopefully he gets to lift a trophy. Thank you so much for taking the time, and enjoy the experience.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it. We definitely will.
Time for one last break. Jesse's been carrying me. He's going to bring us home with Last Call up next. Here we go now. My fantasy team is decimated. Jesse, please cheer me up. Let's have some Last Call, shall we?
Yeah, no, your fantasy team's having a rough go of it. With Darren Waller, DeAndre Swift earlier. Yeah. We're going to get to some football in a second, but we talked earlier in the show about older brothers, what they used to do to torment their younger brothers, and we asked some of our viewers,
to send in some responses and give us some stories. So I'm going to read a couple of you. So Seafoz says, any wrestling move I dished out, holding a sharpshooter or a figure four too long. I think this was a big one for people. Man. It's like everybody emulated. NWA was so big, still huge. But back in the day, like the sharpshooter, like the Walls of Jericho was a big one. Yeah. Like people would just do that. That's mean. You shouldn't do that. But people did it, right?
It was a Boston Crab for me.
Boston Crab. There were a lot of them. That's So Darth writes in, says, my older brother kicked me in the face wearing baseball cleats.
Whoa.
And I had cleat bruises all around my eye.
That's a crime.
Like that, yeah. But we asked for these answers, so these are the answers that are coming in. So I gotta tell you. That's aggressive. Baseball cleat bruises around the eye is tough. And this last one here, Art says, the meanest thing I did to my older brother after he beat me up once, I dipped his toothbrush in the toilet.
No, he didn't.
Big smile on my face the next morning watching him clean his teeth.
No, that's, I mean, that too is crime. I mean,
that's, is that a crime?
That's too far.
That's, I agree, that's too far. But like, toilet bowl is like,
What?
It's not like
sanitary.
It's not clean? Sanitary, but like, what? I don't know. I don't even know the argument I'm trying to make.
Yeah,
like,
no,
It's clean water that comes in. I'm just saying, like, it's not that bad. Like,
and then wait. What happens?
The state the toilet was.
What happens to the clean water?
What do you mean? What happens to clean water?
Well, you're acting like
yes. It depends
when the
it depends when the toothbrush was dipped into the toilet. That's all I'm saying. So it's a ridiculous argument to make. I understand that, but I'm just saying.
No, I mean,
maybe
listen,
it's not as bad as.
I'm glad that we know that you're cool with it. Because I'm going to do it to you.
Don't break in and dip any of my toothbrushes, okay? Oh, my God. Yeah, okay, let's go to the toilet bowl of football games, if you will.
Done.
Today's Bears-Lions game went about how you'd expect. It started with both teams trying to defer on the coin toss. We showed you this earlier. And it featured a 12-men-on-the-field penalty on an extra point and a coach trying to call back-to-back timeouts. The Bears came away with a 16-14 win. So we discussed this on the show Tuesday. But did that game bolster the argument that the Lions should no longer host a Thanksgiving game?
It bolstered the argument that betting is important for the health of the NFL. Because
right.
That is the reason people watch that game. Yeah. Fantasy and betting. But why? Like, why do the Lions host? They've never been good. I mean, I understand it's tradition, but doing something because it's always been done that way is not a good reason for anything.
Correct.
They've barely ever been good. It's not like the atmosphere. Do you remember the great scenes at Pontiac Silverdome when you were a kid? No. So why do they get to host?
I can't say I do. I think something that happened today that I noticed is that people rallied around the fact that the Lions still have a game. Like, this has become a story
really?
In of itself. Like, people are going to watch the game because they're going to watch to see how bad the Lions are. The Lions are, like, a bit now. They're a topic, right? Everyone wants to see how long the Lions can go now until they're winless. And the fact that they were playing a team that's almost just as bad as them in the Chicago Bears made it like, these are two horrible teams. Let's see how bad the game can be. And I think people came together with that.
You know who should want this to move on to another franchise?
Yeah.
Lions fans.
That's right. Yeah, that makes
you
sense.
Want to be bad in privacy.
Are there Lions
if someone's
fans?
Yeah, true. People who live in Detroit.
Right.
If someone happens to see your team struggle on red zone, so be it. But it's not a great look, and it makes no sense. It would be the equivalent of the NBA saying every Christmas Day, we're showing you the Sacramento Kings.
Mm. Which Raptors fans happened. Wouldn't be happy about that.
No,
Raptors
they certainly
fans are never
would not.
Happy when they don't get a Christmas game. We're going to have the NFL picks for this week since we don't have a show tomorrow. We're going to have the picks digitally. We'll send it out on Twitter and Instagram so that you can follow along with my picks and Tim's picks like we do every single week. But from the NFL to the CFL we go. The division semifinals happening on Sunday. The Ticats will host the Alouettes in the East Final. And the Stamps visit the Rough Riders at Mosaic Field in the West Final. Which team playing this weekend has the best shot to win the Grey Cup, DJ?
Ooh, you know what? I have shown love to the province of Alberta, giving the flowers to Edmonton. I'm going to give some flowers to the Calgary Stampede. Championship DNA in that organization. They've got some late signings, you know, guys who are in the NFL who have been big in the CFL. You know, Roberson on defense, Pagleton on offense. I think Calgary is the team that, you know, if they get on a run, would be pretty scary. In the East, I'll say Montreal. Trevor Harris is playing his best football all year, but Calgary would be the team I put my money on.
Everybody's unlikely to beat the Blue Bombers, right? It feels like it's their year.
dude, the entire All-Star team is essentially, they're too deep. Yeah. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Which scares me a bit because they haven't really had a meaningful game in about a month. But yeah, they've been next level. Injuries, no issue. They're the prohibitive favorite.
Love it, Kate. Staying with Canadian football, the U Sports National Semifinals also happening this weekend. Saskatchewan and Montreal will meet in the UTEC Bowl, and Saint FX takes on your Western Mustangs in the Mitchell Bowl. Mine too, I should say, but you played and stuff. Western finished the season as the number one ranked team, but Montreal has been set as the betting favorites. Betting has been a little bit of a theme here today. Yes. Who's your money on?
Yeah, I mean, I love what SN Bets is doing. Let's get a squad ride to the Mitchell Bowl or to the UTEC. My money is obviously on the University of Western Ontario, the Western Mustangs, now Western University. But actually, the AUS does not get much love, but this St. FX team is probably, for me, the best team to come out of the East since, the Glavich-led teams that came out a while ago. And speaking of teams that have been hot, Montreal, not once, not twice, thrice beating Laval in Quebec. There's a reason why they're the betting favorite, because they've been good all year.
Okay, you want to go to Canadian football of a different kind?
Yeah, let's.
There we go. Tim Hortons Field in Hamilton has been chosen as the host for the Canadian men's soccer team's World Cup qualifier against the United States on January 30th. Canada Soccer also considered playing the game indoors at BC Place in Vancouver. Probably not going to get the snow that we got in Edmonton. Maybe. Do you like the decision to play in Hamilton?
I mean, it makes sense given, travel and where they're going to be coming from, remembering that this is a multi-game window. It's not just a one-off. Vancouver has been such a great supporter of both national programs, men's and women's, so it would have been nice if we had a game out there, a nice game with no elements. But I love that Hamilton is getting to host the Grey Cup. Forge have done real work over the last couple of years and have a great team again this year, so they've been hosting some big football matches, so it's nice for it to be spread around the country a little bit. Steeltown gets to show love to our Canadian boys.
It's so funny that there was so much made of the snow, and some people were looking at it as a positive, other people were looking at it negative, and then the snow ends up being like the iconic Canadian heritage moment. It's played such a big role in that match. Canadian soccer has been fun lately. Okay, we're going to the Columbus Blue Jackets. After losing to the Columbus Blue Jackets last night, the Winnipeg Jets traveled to Minnesota today ahead of tomorrow's game against the Wild. It's a nice scheduling break for the four Minnesota-born players on the Jets roster, like Nate Schmidt, who's looking forward to spending Thanksgiving with his family.
Well, I haven't been able to see everybody that much over the last 2 years. I was in Vegas when the season got paused and throughout that whole summer, and then last summer just with finally getting everything all rolled out, so it's gonna be I'm excited. My aunt makes homemade pumpkin pie, and if I'm gonna indulge in anything, it's gonna be that, and I'm excited.
can you tell he's excited?
So a little bit.
Pumpkin pie or apple pie?
Just don't ask me stupid questions. We can save time for the next last call. It's apple pie all day. And quite frankly, it's apple crumble. And I'm disgusted that you'd even put pumpkin pie in the same conversation, the same sentence as apple pie. I would eat apple pie by itself. If I ever mess up in life and I'm on death row, apple pie would be my last meal.
That, right.
No ice cream, just a big glass of milk the way it was intended. Apple pie all day, every day.
Pecan pie or pecan?
No, how do you pronounce it? Don't give me no strawberry, rhubarb, nothing. It is apple pie.
Okay, I want to get this in quickly before we run out of time. Dominican baseball reporter Hector Gomez posted a video of Vladimir Guerrero Jr. working out today, along with this quote from Vladdy. I'm working harder than I did last year in the offseason. My goal is to arrive in my best physical condition at spring training and have a better season than the one I had this year so I can help the Blue Jays win the World Series. Made some big changes in the offseason routine last season, did Vladdy, and it paid off. So after hearing that, he's hitting 100 home runs and 400 RBIs, right?
Probably.
At least 77.
Listen, he looks svelte, he looks agile, he looks nimble, but have we not had a Vladdy training harder than ever quote and video from him training literally every offseason he's been part of the franchise?
Yeah, but it's worked in the fans' favor, hasn't it?
True.
Last year it did. Last year it most definitely.
I'll give you that.
I don't know about the years prior, but last year definitely did.
So you're going on SN Bets. You're going to sprinkle a little money on Vladdy for MVP.
Yeah, didn't Tim hit the Shohei Ohtani MVP, so it looks like we might just have to dabble on Vladdy for 2022 MVP.
I'm down.
Because he looks great.
Squad ride.
Squad ride. Good vibes only.
Yeah, only good vibes. This has been real fun. Good vibes. Hey, get on the squad ride with us. That does it for us here. No Tim and Friends tomorrow as there's an afternoon NHL game on the network. We'll be back next week. Hope you join us. See ya. This has been fun.